The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Of the subjects that Parashas Pinchas deals with, is a very important subject, the appointment of Yeshua Binun, of Yeshua, to assume the leadership after Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a subject we've spoken about several times before, but because of its importance, I'd like to speak on it again this evening. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar Chof Zayin, Posuk Tezvot, Vayidaber Moshe LaHashem Lemor. Moshe said to Hashem, say, Yifkeid Hashem Elokei Aruchais Lechol Bosor, Ish Alo Edo. That the Almighty, who is the God of all of the spirits of all flesh, He gives each and every one a spirit, a neshama. Let him choose ish al ha'edo, let him choose a person who will lead the congregation. Asher yetzi lifnehem, asher yove lifnehem. Someone who will go out before them and who will come in before them. Asher yetzi eim, asher yivi eim. Someone who will take them out and bring them in. V'lo yisi adas Hashem katzein asher ein lahem reya. In order that the flock of the Almighty will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Because previously we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu again told Moshe Rabbeinu that he will not go into Eretz Yisrael. He should go up on the mountain and he will see Eretz Yisrael, but he will not go there. And it was coming now close to the time when they would enter Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe said that there must be someone who will assume his duties in order that the flock should not be without an attendant. Vayema Hashem al Moshe, so Hashem told Moshe, Kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun. Take Yeshua the son of Nun, Ish asher ruach boy. Someone who has great spirit in him. V'samachta es yotcho olov. Take your hand and put it on him. V'amadata yisei lifnei Elozer HaKohen. And let him, make him stand before Elozer the Kohen, v'lifnei kol ha'edo, and before all of the congregation, v'tzivisa eso le'enehem. And you shall command him in their presence. And you shall give from your glory, from your shine on him. Moshe Rabbeinu had a glory, a hold, a shine, which he received when he came down from Har Sinai, from Mount Sinai, with the Luchos, with the tablets. So you should give from your shine to him, Laman Yishmu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, in order that all of the Bnei Yisrael shall listen to him. And he shall stand before Elozer HaKohen, and he shall ask all of the questions necessary to lead the nation before the Urim and Tumim. Al piv yetsu val piv yavol, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael itay v'chol ha'edo. In accordance to his word, they shall go out and they shall come in. All of the sons of Israel together with him, all of the nation. V'yas meshe kashya tzivu Hashem esoy. And Moshe did like Hashem commanded. Vayikach es Yeshua, he took Yeshua, vayamideu lifnei Elozer HaKohen, and he stood him up before Elozer HaKohen, vayitzaveu kasher lifnei kol ha'edo, before all of the congregation, vayismeich es yodav olov, and he did more than the Almighty said. The Almighty told Yeshua to place one hand on him as a sign that he was giving from his powers over. Vayismach es yodav olav, he placed two hands on him, both of his hands. Vayitzaveihu, and he commanded him. Kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe, like Hashem spoke to Moshe. So this is the parsha that deals with giving over the reins of leadership. In this parsha, the Chazal tell us much in regards to what a leader in Israel has to be, and what a disciple in Israel has to be, and also in regards to the inheritance of Torah. And let's speak on these subjects this evening. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Pinchas here, Os Tezvot, Parsha Chof Aleph Os Tes Vov. Vayidaber Moshe al Hashem lemor Yifkeid Hashem lekei aruches. Moshe came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Yifkeid, appoint someone who will take over. Now this is a Loshen Sivui, that Moshe was commanding the Almighty, appoint someone to take over. Kol mi shemevakesh sorchei tzibur, kilu bo bizraya. Anyone who comes to the Almighty with a request, which is a need, not a personal request, but which is a need for the tzibur, a need for the nation, kilu bo bizraya. He comes from a position of strength. He comes from a position which he can demand. And from here we see how important it is, the needs of the tzibur, the needs of the nation, and how important it is to see that the nation has proper leaders. Moshe didn't come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him to appoint a leader. He came, Yifkeid, he demanded that the Almighty appoints a leader, that the flock should not be unattended. And from here the Medrash says, we learn that whoever comes to demand, not for himself, but the needs of the tzibur, Bob Israel, he comes from a position of strength where he does not have to ask, but he can demand. Then the Sifri tells us, the Sifri in this parasha, Os Tes Zayin, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe who he will appoint, Hera Loi, he showed him, Moshe, all of the leaders who will lead Klal Yisrael from this time until time of Tchias HaMeisim, until the time of the resurrection of the dead. And it's based on a posuk, which states, "Tzilochu al ikve hatzayin." In Shir Hashirim, Shlomo HaMelech wrote, "Tzilochu al ikve hatzayin," that go by the heels of the herds. That he showed him what will take place in Klal Yisrael from now, all the way to the end of days, and he showed to Moshe, Yeshua, and each leader, each parnes, each leader of the generation who will lead Klal Yisrael. From here we see that every leader in Israel becomes a shutef, becomes a partner with Moshe Rabbeinu. And every leader in Israel, a true leader, we're speaking, someone who's a true leader in Israel, becomes part of the whole picture of history, of the manhigei atzibur, of the leaders of the congregation, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the end of days. So we see great emphasis is placed here on the leader. This was Os Tes Vov. Now we have a Mishnah in Masecht Ovis. Could you just hand me a siddur there? The Mishnah tells us, it's in Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, whoever's in a position where he has to work for the nation, he's placed in a position of leadership. then he should work for the nation l'shem shemaim. He should make sure that what he does is not for his own personal desires, but for the needs of the people, for the sake of heaven. Because if he does, then he will have the schus of the oves, then the merits of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov will stand by him. And their righteousness will be with him forever. And he will succeed. Because if he has the merits of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, surely he will succeed. But the Almighty says, I will grant you reward. Kilo asisem, as if you did it. This means that when someone is in a position of leadership and he's leading Klal Yisrael and he's working for their sake, if he does it for personal desires, because he can attain glory, he can attain kovod and honor, or he can attain wealth or whatever purpose it might be, then he's on his own. It's not too likely he'll succeed. But if he does it l'shem shomayim, for the sake of heaven, then he will have the merit of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And with that, surely he will succeed. But he will receive reward from the Almighty as if it was his own deeds, even though basically it was through the great schuyes, the great merit of the Oves. And why is that? So the Maral explains in Masechta Oves something very deep. The Gemara says, Ein atzibur meis. The nation of Israel does not die. Individuals die. The individuals come and they go. Generations, dor heilich. One generation comes and one generation goes. But Ein atzibur meis, but Klal Yisrael does not die. No matter what happens, Klal Yisrael is still there. And every generation they stand up against us to destroy us. The Almighty saves us from their hands. Ein hatzibur meis, the nation does not die. This means that when we're dealing with the nation of Israel, we're dealing with one unit. And that unit has a hemshech, that unit is united as a bond from the beginning to end, from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, where the nation came from. So therefore, if someone works for the nation, b'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, then he is binding himself to the source of that nation, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And then their schuyes, their merits will help. But if he does not bond himself to the nation, but he works merely as an individual. No, individuals, they come and they go. The fact is, our great power of being united to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov is only through the unit, through the structure of Klal Yisrael. So this is why a manhig, the leader of Klal Yisrael, or the leaders of Klal Yisrael, were so important. Because they were leading the nation. And this had its source with Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Therefore, at this point, when here Moshe was requesting that there be a leader in Klal Yisrael, and this was the point where the first time where actually a new leader was being chosen. Because before Moshe Rabbeinu, they hadn't become that nation of the Torah yet. They were a people. They were a family. They became Shivim Nefesh, 70 people, when they went down to Egypt. They started to have a form of a nation. But they were still the family of Yaakov Avinu. It was in Egypt that they became the nation. And when they went out and they received the Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu was their first leader. And now this was the first time when a replacement, someone to assume these responsibilities, had come about. And here Moshe knew what this meant, so he was very careful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him at that point all of the leaders. that would lead the nation from this time until the end of days. The Sifri tells us another point. Vaidaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. Moshe said to Hashem, Yivke Hashem elekei aruches, let the Almighty appoint a new leader. Lehidia shivchon shel tzadikim. This comes to teach us the praise of the righteous. Shekishehem niftorin menichin sorche atzmon ve'eskim betzeirich tzibur. Moshe was going to die here. When a person dies, he has a lot of things on his mind. And he has a lot of things that he has to take care of in his own household. Still, Moshe Rabbeinu set that all aside. He set aside all of his personal necessities, and he was only involved with the tzorchei tzibur. He was involved with the needs of the nation. If I'm going to die, who will lead the people? Who will lead them into Eretz Yisrael? So, this teaches us l'haydia shivchon shel tzadikim, the praise of the righteous, the praise of the leaders. That a true leader, his mind is always primarily on the needs of the people. And even when he's dying, menichin sorche atzman, he sets aside his own needs and still worries about the people. And when it comes to the symbol of the greatest leader that we had, this was Moshe Rabbeinu. From here we learn leadership. It was Moshe who brought the Torah down to the people. It was Moshe who led them out of Egypt. It was Moshe who stood up against the idolaters by the golden calf. And many times he stood up against all of the 600,000 people. And it was Moshe that executed all of the great wonders and miracles before Parai and split the sea, brought the people out of Egypt. Like the Torah tells us, at the very end, that Moshe was the one who did all of this with the greats, with a strong hand and outstretched arm. Le'enei kol Yisrael, in the presence of all Israel. So when we want to find attributes of leadership, this we find from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, there's more we learn. The responsibility of a leader is not only to see that he leads the people while he's there, but also to see that there'll be a leader when he's not there. Many times you have a situation where you have a leader of a nation and everything is fine, but when he dies, chaos breaks out. It's a chaotic situation. Anarchy, dispute, machlekes, and so on. And people say, well, he was a great leader, but he died. What could he do? This we learn from here. This is a shortcoming in that person's leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu guaranteed that that would not be the situation by Klal Yisrael, even though in later generations, many, many times it was. When we lost our great leader, then there was chaos. Moshe guaranteed it wouldn't be. He saw his responsibility was not only to lead the nation while he was alive, but to see and to lead them while he was dead also. Therefore, while he was alive, he came to the Almighty and he said, Yifkaid, I demand that you appoint a leader now. So when I die, the herd will not be like a herd without a leader. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. So he appointed Yeshua. But that still wasn't sufficient. He could have appointed Yeshua, but then when Moshe would have died, maybe the people would not have listened to Yeshua. They would say, who are you? Are you trying to fill the shoes of Moshe Rabbeinu? Are you trying to direct us in place of Moshe Rabbeinu? If you led during the time when Moshe was alive, no one would have listened to you. You would not have had even the courage to raise your head in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what people would have said. And many times this is a situation. There's someone on the side who is supposed to be the one who will assume the duties, but the people won't accept it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, they had a plan. And they said as follows. You shall place your hand on him. This shall be done now, while you're still leading. And you shall stand him in front of Elozer. Lifnei kol ha'edo. You shall bring Yeshua while you are still the king. Bring Yeshua and put your hand on him and stand him in front of the entire nation. When they used to speak to the people, so they had a Turgeman. The Turgeman was a person, the leader would tell the Turgeman, and the Turgeman would say it over to the people. So give him a Turgeman now, in your presence, and let him be Sheil V'Deirish U'Meireiro B'Chayecho, let him rule. Let him render decisions in Torah now, in your presence. In order that people should not say that when you die, they'll say that when your Rebbe lived, you were never able to give a ruling. And now you're great enough to give a ruling. Let the people see that he will rule and he will render decisions now in your presence, Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu would teach, so Moshe would sit on a throne, and his closest disciples, there was Moshe, and then there were the 70 Zekenim. See, Moshe had, which was the structure of the Sanhedrin Hagdola, which was the Supreme Court. Moshe was the Nossi. The head of the Supreme Court was called the Nossi. And then he had his 70 elders. Together the 70 elders made up the 71 people of the Supreme Court, of the Sanhedrin Hagdola. The 71 elders sat in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest sat closest to him. The other people, when they would come to hear Torah, they would be further back. Or if it was in Moshe's private tent, it was just the 70. Moshe sat on a throne, and the others sat at his feet. So Moshe took Yeshua, and he sat him next to him, in a throne next to him. Reb Nosson Eimer, Kivan Sho Yeshua Nichnas, Hoya Mashti Kesat Turgeman Ache Nichnas V'Yoshev Imkeimei. Also, Reb Nosson says that when Moshe was teaching Torah, and Moshe would tell the Turgeman what to tell the people, and if Yeshua would walk into the tent, so then Moshe silenced the Turgeman until Yeshua came to his place and sat down. And then he continued. In other words, he was chelek le'kovit shel malchus. Moshe gave him the honor of a melech during his time, in order that the continuity should be completely smooth. Not that Moshe would die and then Yeshua would become the king, because maybe there would be a revolution. Maybe not everyone would accept Yeshua. And they would say, now you come, and now you darshan. But during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, where were you? So Moshe had Yeshua teach Torah in his presence to the people. He elevated him to the throne. And when he would walk in the tent, Moshe became silent until Yeshua took his place. In order to see that the continuity would be perfect. So we see the responsibility of leadership goes even further. Not only that he has to worry about the congregation while he's alive, but also a true leader worries about the congregation, worries about the tzibur, what will be after he leaves. Similar to that, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is a question that's asked. We all know that Moshe did not go into Eretz Yisrael. Why is this? Because of the chait of the Meimeriva. Because the episode with the waters, striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock, or he said Shimuna Meirim, he spoke harshly to the people, whatever the Aveda was, because of that, it was decreed that Moshe would not go into Eretz Yisrael. Later on in Parshas Veschanan, it states, Moshe says that Anechi Meis, I am going to die in this desert. I shall not go over the Yarden. I will not pass over the Jordan River. So the sages ask, if he's going to die in this desert, so we understand he's not going to pass over the Jordan River. So Rashi brings there were two decrees. One decree that he will die in this desert, and a second decree that even after death he will not go over into Eretz Yisrael. Because there's a question. I mean, why wasn't Moshe carried into Eretz Yisrael to be born there, to be buried there? We see that when Yaakov died, he commanded his children to take his remains into Eretz Yisrael. We see when Yosef died, they carried the remains of Yosef the entire 40 years in the desert and then into Eretz Yisrael. And as the Gemara says, then not only Yosef, but Kol HaShvatim Halu, all of the remains of all of the 12 sons, they carried into Eretz Yisrael. So why wasn't Moshe at least Zecher that he should have Kfura be'Eretz Yisrael? The decree that he should not go into Eretz Yisrael alive, that was because of the Aveda. But why? Why was there a decree that he should be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael? So the Medrash tells us, because he was to remain with the Misei HaMidbor, with the degeneration of the Midbor that also was buried in the desert. In order that he will lead them into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership extended forever. Not only while he was alive, but even after he died. It was his responsibility to take care of that generation. And here we see also his concern. Then he asked, Asher Yetze Lifneim V'Asher Yoveh Lifneim, someone who will go before them and come in before them. Asher Yetzeim V'Asher Yivieim. Rashi brings from the Medrash, Leike Derech Malchi Umeis, a leader in Israel is not someone who sits behind his desk or on his throne and he sends the nation out. Not like the kings of the nations that when it's wartime they send their armies out and they remain in the safety and the security of their palace. Moshe said, but Asher Yotzi'eim V'Asher Yivieim, but someone who will go out in front of them. Like I did when it came to the war against Eg Melech HaBoshon, the king of Boshon, Moshe went first. Or V'chein Yeshua, we find this by Yeshua, V'yelech Yeshua Elo V'yeim Elei Halonu Ato. An angel came to Yeshua and said he went over to the general who was Yeshua, who was standing in front of the battle. Or v'chein b'David u'aymer ki hu yeitzei uvo lifneihem. We find by David HaMelech that David went out first. So the leader of Klal Yisrael was someone who had to lead. When it came to the battle, he had to be in the front. When it came to a confrontation, he had to be in the front. A leader meant to lead. Leike Malchei Umais, not like the false leaders of the world, who they are self-proclaimed leaders only for their own desires or their own benefits. And therefore they sit in the security of their palaces and they let the nation go forward. But Moshe said, like I did, and we see Yeshua did like that, and we see David HaMelech did like that. And we pointed out before that traditionally, it seems to have come down traditionally, that during the wars, the past wars of Israel, this also was the policy of the army, that they always would have a very high casualty rate when it came to the top brass, because it was their highest personnel that would go first and they would be in the front. Then it states Ba'asher Yivi'em, and someone that will bring them in. Alright, to go out, we understand that what that means. We once spoke before many times on the Nosi, Nesim, the same thing, that the Nesim must go in the front. But what does it mean Ba'asher Yivi'em, someone who will bring them in? So here Rashi brings from the Medrash B'Zchui Esav, who will bring them back safely with his merits. Now this is very important. A leader by Klal Yisrael must be someone who is a very, very great individual. Then not only can he lead Klal Yisrael with his care, with his mentality, and with his power and strength, but he must be able to protect Klal Yisrael with his own righteousness. His righteousness will be so great that that itself will be a schus, that itself will be a protection for Klal Yisrael, who will bring them back safely. B'zchui Esav. This is very important, because unfortunately, when it comes to the nations of the world, it's completely irrelevant. But unfortunately, in many times, even in Israel, we choose a secular leader, and that individual might not have any schuyas at all. It might not have any merit whatsoever. And according to the Torah and according to the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not a leader, because he's going to have to protect the people with his merits. A leader by Klal Yisrael, this was Moshe Rabbeinu or Yeshua Bin Nun or David HaMelech or Shlema HaMelech. But to merely place in front of Klal Yisrael someone who might be a good statesman or a good politician or a good soldier, but he is not great in righteousness also, then he will not have the merits to protect the nation. And this is what Moshe said. Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give me a statesman. Don't give me merely a strong man, a military man. I want someone that will go in front of them, but will also bring them back home safely with his merits. So this is another very important point. Moshe then also asked, Yifkeir Hashem Elokei Haruchais Lechol Bosor, that Hashem, who is the God of every spirit in all flesh. Now why did Moshe bring this up now? We know that the Almighty is the God of every spirit in all flesh. Why did he bring this up now? So Moshe said like this. When it comes physically people are basically the same. We don't find too much difference in people physically. They all have two arms, and they all have two legs, and they all have five fingers on each hand. But when it comes spiritually, in other words, when we're dealing already now with the emotions and the mentality and the psychology and the spirit, there everybody is different. Everyone is completely different. Shem she'ein parzufin shel ze mizeh deimeh. Just like two faces are not identical, so kach nafshisehem, two individuals, their spirits are not identical. And a leader, Moshe said, must be a leader for all of the people. A leader in Klal Yisrael was not someone who could lead some of the people. A leader in Klal Yisrael was not someone who was a right winger or a left winger. But a leader of Klal Yisrael was a leader of the entire nation. And how can someone lead the entire nation? This means that he has to identify with every individual. So he said, Yivked Hashem Elokei Aruches L'chol Bosor, you that has created the spirit of every individual, so you know exactly how every individual is different. You must choose a leader who can identify with every individual. You must choose a leader where every individual can identify with this person. We're speaking about a giant. This is what Moshe asked for, what he demanded for. Yivked Hashem Elokei Aruches. Rashi tells us, Golim Yadu Lefanecha Daita Shel Kol Echad Ve'Echad. You know the das, you know the individuality of each person. Vein Adem and Zelazer. Mone Aleihem Manik She'Sevel Kol Echad Ve'Echad Lefi Daita. Choose a leader which can deal with each one. Someone that will be a leader for all of the people. And then it states, Kach L'cho Ash Yeshua Bin Nun. Take Yeshua the son of Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Boy, who has a great spirit. Such a great spirit. So Rashi says, Kasher Shua Alto, like you requested, She'yuchal Lahalech K'neged Ruchay Shel Kol Echad Be'Echad. Someone who can walk and identify with every individual. So a person wants to be a leader, he has to know them. Leadership doesn't mean to write off segments of the population. Many times we get a leader and he says, writes off segments of the Jewish population. We can't deal with this segment and we can't deal with this segment, so let's not reckon with it. That's not a leader in Klal Yisrael. Naturally, there are always, and the opposition, there are Rishoyim. Moshe Rabbeinu also had those that he had to go up against. But in general, he has to lead all of the people. And he has to be able to stand up against the individuals, and each one can identify. In this vein, we find, we once spoke at this at length, we don't have time today, but it states that by Esther Amalko in the Purim story, the Gemara brings that she was, her name was Hadassah, because the Hadassah is a plant which is not too long and not too short. She was a very medium height. And the Gemara also brings, according to one opinion, that she was a pale olive complexion. So the question is asked, why? So the Maral explains, because she was to become the Malko, she was to become a queen of the entire world. Achashverosh was the Melech of Kufchov Zayin Medinais, over 127 empires. He was a king, Misefe Elamat Sefe, the Gemara says. He was a king, a monarch over the entire world. And she was to become the queen over the entire world. Now, a king or a queen doesn't mean just someone who stands or sits on the throne and enjoys the great pomp and circumstance and the wealth of the kingdom. A king means a king over people. And how can someone be a king or a queen over 127 different empires? It must be that they are all able to identify with this individual. So therefore she was made where she was not too tall and not too short, and an olive complexion, which is the mamutza, which is the medium of all of the colors, in order that all of the nations of the world could identify with her, is that she is their queen. And there's another Gemara that states that this will be true on the Melech HaMashiach, Mimheiro V'Yameinu. When the Melech HaMashiach comes, and he will be capable to rule the world, he will be such an individual where everyone can identify with him. There's Gemaras which speak of this. everyone can feel a relation to him. Every Jew, and even in every nation of the world. This is the type of king he'll be. And this is what we were speaking here. Now this goes into a very great depth. Because the Parsha brings, we learned just a few weeks ago in Parsha's Chukas, the Parsha brings in Bamidbor Chof Aleph, Posse Chof Aleph, Vayishlach Yisrael Malochim El Sichon Melech Amori Lemor. And Israel sent Malochim messengers to Sichon, the king of Amori. So Rashi asks, Ubemochem Acher Tela Ashlichus Bemeshish, Nema Veeshlach Malochim Mibidbor Kdemesh. In other places, it states that Moshe sent. Here it says Israel sent, the nation sent. In other places, it says Moshe sent. And Rashi brings several sources on this. Sometimes it says Moshe sent, and sometimes it says Israel sent. And the same thing, it says this by other leaders. It comes to teach us Shemesha hu Yisrael v'Yisrael hei Mesha. It comes to teach us that Mesha is the same as Israel and Israel is the same as Mesha. Lei Malach shenosi ador hu kechol hador. To tell us that the Nosi of the door, the Nosi, as we mentioned, that was the head of the Sanhedrin Hagdola. That was the top position in Israel of the nation. The single leader over all of Israel. The Nosi ador is like the entire door, is like the entire generation. Ki anosi hu akol. Now what does this mean? Israel is Mesha and Mesha is Israel. The nosi of the generation is like the entire generation. What does this mean? There's great depth in this. The Chazal tell us in another place that Mesha was shokul kishishim rabua. Mesha was equal to the 600,000. 600,000 Jews came out of Egypt. From these 600,000 were born all of Israel that was to follow. So these 600,000 were the foundations of all of the neshamas, of all of the souls of Israel. We might think there were 600,000 and Mesha. There were 600,000 souls and one more, Mesha soul. Not true. There were not 600,000 and one soul. Mesha's soul was so great where it encompassed all of the 600,000 souls. Mesha's neshama was so great it encompassed all 600,000. And if we go a little deeper, we'll see it had to be like that. Because the Chazal, the sages teach that each soul had a source in the Torah, a letter in the Torah. Each Jewish soul. Now the souls were split many, many times since then. But these were the foundations of the souls that came out of Egypt. These were the foundations of the nation. Now each soul has a source and a letter of the Torah. And that's why everyone has his portion in the Torah. We've spoken about this at length in the past. Everyone has his specific portion and approach to Torah. But Moshe received the entire Torah. There was no part of the Torah that was not given over to Moshe. Otherwise it wouldn't have been given to the world. So Moshe received the entire Torah. Now how could Moshe receive the entire Torah if each soul is directed and linked to one specific letter of the Torah? So we see that while every soul was linked to one specific area of the Torah, Moshe's soul encompassed the entire Torah. This was the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was shokul kishishim rabua, was equivalent to the 600,000. So that's why it states many times in the Torah that Israel sent, and other times it states Moshe sent. Ki Mesha hu Yisrael, Yisrael hu Mesha. The only difference between Yisrael and Mesha is that by Israel, it took the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu and divided it into 600,000 parts. This shows the greatness of what Moshe Rabbeinu was. And there are gemaras that infer to this, similarly to what we spoke about just a minute ago, that every individual could relate and identify with Moshe Rabbeinu for that reason. And he said, someone has to assume. He has to assume my responsibilities. And I want a leader that will be a leader of all of the people, that will be able to walk with each and every spirit of the people, each and every soul. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Kach lecho es Yeshua binun, take Yeshua binun. Isha sheruach boi, the one who has a ruach, he has your spirit. Your spirit that will enable him to encompass the entire nation. So you see what kind of great leaders they were. But there's another chidush. There's another great revelation that the Chazal teaches there. It doesn't only say that on Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, it goes further. Rashi brings the same limud there in Parshas Chukas. That Rashi brings the same limud ubi yiftachu emer by some of the Nevi'im or the Sheftim. And then Rashi says, this comes to teach us that the Nosi Hador hu kechol Hador. This was not only by Moshe Rabbeinu, but by all of the leaders that were to follow. That when it came to the great Nesim, that they were the head of the Sanhedrin. This was the Av Bezdin, the Nosi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin Hagdolah. He also had to be able to encompass all of the people. So to a degree, he also had such a soul. And this followed by all of the great leaders. In many of the slichasim that we say, because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and we've lost our leaders, and we've lost our Sanhedrin, Vein Le Novi, and we don't have a Novi, or we don't have a Nosi. So you see now what the great loss was. But at least we see what a leader has to live up to. So this is why Moshe demanded such a personality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe, and he said, I have the man you're looking for, Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe, his demands were very great, but the Almighty said that fortunately I have such a man, Yeshua ben Nun. Now the Chazal tell us that Moshe also had someone in mind. He had in mind for this position one of his own sons. His sons also were very great. They must have been. Sam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that Moshe was not a fool. Here he's listing off all of the qualities that he wants in the new leader. And he had in mind that perhaps his own son will fit the bill. See, he must have known that his son was capable. And Moshe felt that it should go to his son because of inheritance. The previous Parsha speaks of inheritance. The Bnei Slovchot, the daughters of Slovchot came and they said that why shouldn't we inherit? We want Eretz Yisrael also, just because our father didn't leave over any sons. We also want to inherit. And the women, the Sifri brings that the power of the women of that generation were greater than the men. The men were afraid of Eretz Yisrael. They said, let's appoint a head and go back to Egypt. And the women said to Nulon Ahuza, we want our portion in Eretz Yisrael. And it was for that reason that the Torah here says that the Torah tells us that at this time there was not one man that was from the generation of the Meraglim, of the scouts, of the spies, because they all died in the desert. But the sages say not one man, but the women, yes, because the women were not involved in the Divas HaOretz, in the Loshon Hara, the slander against Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they lived to go into Eretz Yisrael. So why do these two parashas come exactly one next to the other? So the sages say, because when Moshe said that he must take the responsibility for the generation, even though he's dying, he must see what will be after him, and he came to discuss it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, when it came to the selection of a leader, Moshe threw in a candidate. He said, my son. And Moshe felt he had a right to it for his son because of inheritance, because directly before, the Torah commands us on the inheritance. That inheritance goes from the father to the son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Lemak Shavosai, my thoughts are not Kimak Shveisechor, your thoughts. I have something else in mind. I have Yeshua in mind. Because Yeshua is greater than your son. Yeshua was your Talmud. This was the Talmud Muvik. This was the greatest disciple of Moshe. And he's greater than your sons. And it goes to him. Now here we learn two things. Firstly, what the sages say, Ein Yerusha L'Torah. There is no inheritance to Torah. This leader of this generation had to be the Torah leader. And there is inheritance to land. There is inheritance to physical possessions, but not to spiritual possessions. Secondly, why was Yeshua greater? And this the Medrash tells us. Medrash tells us in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Tezvov, Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neitze Te'eino Yechal Pirio, the one who has guarded the fig tree, he shall eat from its fruits. The fig tree is different than other trees, because other trees ripen all at one time. The fig tree, the fruits do not ripen all at one time. One day one will ripen, another day another will ripen, a week later another will ripen. Then mispashlish mi'at mi'at. And the Sifri tells us that the te'enos nimshel le'Torah, when it comes to Torah, it's like a fig tree. A person wants to learn Torah, he cannot learn it all at one time. He learns a little one day, and a little another day, and a little another day, and then it adds up. And the one who constantly guards the fig tree, he will have its fruits. Because when it comes to another tree, you can come at one time and gather in all the fruits. That won't work by the fig tree, because you come at one day and it won't all be ripe. So you have to be there all the time. Every day you must be with the fig tree, and then you will have its fruits. Yeshua guarded the fig tree. The fig tree was Moshe Rabbeinu, the source of Torah. And Yeshua guarded him. Yeshua was with him every day. The Medrash says, "Bonecha yoshvu lehem le'osku b'teira." Your sons were not with you all of the time. They were not constantly in your Beis HaMedrash learning Torah with you every day, day in and day out. Yeshua, here be shirascho v'here be cholach lochkoved. Yeshua served you all of the time. He gave you honor all of the time. Hu hayom mashkim umari v'beis avatshocho. He was the first one to come to the Beis HaMedrash, to your Beis HaMedrash in the morning to open up. He was the last one at night to leave the Beis HaMedrash to close. Hu hayom mesadar es ha'safsolim. He would come in the morning before anyone was there and he would put all of the benches in order. V'peiris es ha-machzoles, and he would organize the whole tent. Ho'il v'hu sherosho b'chol keichai, since he served you with all of his strength, kedai hu shishamis es Yisrael. So therefore he is the one who is deserving now to serve Israel. She'enam avit schorei, that he will not lose his reward. Kach lecho Yeshua bin Nun, take Yeshua the son of Nun l'kayma shenemar, to fulfill the posuk neitzeteinu yechal pirya, the one who will guard the fig tree, he is the one who will eat the fruits. So we see that Yeshua was with Moshe Rabbeinu all of the time. And it states that Na'ar lo yomish miteicha oichel. From the time that he was a lad, he never ceased from being in the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. It states also that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain after 40 days, and he carried the tablets down, and he heard all of the shouts coming from the camp, the shouts of idolatry, the shouts of the singing and the dancing and the lust and everything else that was going on in the camp. And he broke the luchos and he asked, Yeshua, what is all of that noise? And Yeshua said, I don't know. So the question is asked, what do you mean he asked Yeshua? Where was Yeshua? Moshe was alone on the mountain. When he came down, if he met Yeshua in the camp so he could see what it was. And why didn't Yeshua know? So the answer is because all of Israel was allowed to go up to a certain point at the base of the mountain. After that, Moshe went alone. Moshe Nigash, Larofel, he went into the darkness, into the smoke. So the whole camp returned. Yeshua pitched his tent at the base of the mountain and stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights, waiting for his master to return. And when his master returned, so he saw Yeshua first, and this was far out of the campsite. This was the Na'ar lo yomish miteicha ohel. This was the one who never ceased from the ohel, from the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. But we can ask a very strong question. Why is this an attribute in leadership? This is a very good attribute that he was the first in the Beis HaMedrash in the morning. It's a very good attribute that he was the last one. And that he organized everything. He put on the lights, and opened the windows, or closed the windows. He put away all the sforim. This is good. But here we're talking about a leader, and we're talking about a leader of Israel. We're talking about a leader amongst leaders. Someone who could stand up against all the whole world. And this is what Moshe is asking for, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him. Hu shereischo, he served you, he was the first in the base of Midrash in the morning and the last out at night. Why is this an attribute? It's a very good answer. Now we're speaking of Gedele Yisrael, we're speaking of greats amongst greats. Yeshua was the Talmud Muvak, he was the greatest disciple, although Moshe's children also were. The Gemara tells us that even though the greatest mitzvah, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the greatest mitzvah is to study Torah. But there's a mitzvah which is even greater than that. And that the Gemara tells us, Shimusha yeser min limuda. Even greater than studying Torah from one's Rebbe is to serve one's Rebbe. Gemara brings a pasuk. An Elisha, that he was shofach mayim, he was a disciple of Eliyahu, he was shofach mayim because he poured water on his hands. So it calls him a disciple not because he studied Torah by him, but because he served him. Now this doesn't mean serving without study. But it means someone who studied and served him. There is the one who studies Torah, and then there is the one who not only studies Torah from his master, but he's also united and bound together with his master. We quoted as another Gemara, the Rebbe Kiva was once going to the Beis HaMedrash to study by his rabbis, and he came across a Meis Mitzvah, a person that had to be buried. So he went a long way to find a cemetery to bury him. And then by the time he got to his Rebbe, it was very late. So he told him that I was Eisik in Meis Mitzvah, I went and I buried the dead. So they said, no, you did wrongly. Kol psio psicho shofachta dam noki. You shouldn't have done it. And Taisus asks, but we see that for the study of Torah you're allowed to cease in order to bury the dead. So he said, that's when it comes to the study of Torah. But when it comes to serving one's master, that not. That's a higher level. And there's a Gemara in Masech Teseita that says, what is an amoris? What is an ignorant person? What is a boor? What is an empty person? Mishe Kora, someone who learned Mishnah, who learned Chumash, Vishona, and he learned Mishnah, Vileishimish Tamide Chachon. But he did not serve his Rebbe. And we have many, many Gemaras in that, which we don't have time to go into now. And why is this? Because Torah is not an academic exercise. If you want to study mathematics, if you want to study medicine, if you want to study writing or literature, there's no halacha of shimush talmidei chachomim that you must serve your master. There you can do that too, through a correspondence course also. A good correspondence course can produce perhaps as good a lawyer or better than maybe even a university can. But a Talmud Chacham cannot study through a correspondence course. This is not an exercise in academics. In order for one to succeed in Torah, he has to unite himself to the one who is giving Torah. In order for one to succeed and to grow in Torah, then he has to see the Torah that is coming from his master. V'hoya einecho reyes es morecho. Your eyes shall see the one who teaches you Torah. And why is that? Because Torah came to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah was given to Moshe. Moshe kibul Torah mi Sinai umosro li Yeshua. And he gave it to Yeshua. And Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim. And the Zakenim gave it to the Nevi'im. And if we want Torah, then we have to have Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't get Torah from other sources. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah that the first words that you teach a child, even before Shema Yisrael, is Torah Tziva Lona Moshe. That Torah Moshe has commanded us. All Torah in the world that is bona fide Torah, that is legitimate Torah, then it must come through Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu? Then we must learn it from someone who has studied it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Or we must study it from someone who has studied it from someone who studied it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish mi pi ish, ish mi pi ish. And the Rambam, who wrote perhaps one of the greatest works in Torah that was ever written, since the time of the Tanoim and Amoroim, the rabbis of the Mishnah and the Gemara, his great Yad Chazoka, starts out his Yad Chazoka by saying that the entire Torah was received, the written law and the oral law was received by Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was taught ish mi pi ish, one man to another man, one generation to another generation, down to his present generation, and he lists every generation to his present generation. And he lists exactly how it was came down the generations. The Mesedris, which is called the Mesedris, the tradition, every link in the chain of the tradition. If one link is missing, then no longer is it tradition, and no longer is it Torah. So if it was merely the acquisition of knowledge, this can be done through correspondence courses also. This can be done through self-study. But if we're interested here in Teiris Meisha Rabbeinu, you have to see Meisha. Your eyes had to be on him. You had to hear him. You had to watch him. You had to be with him. Meisha Kibul Teirim Sinai Umasroli Yeshua. He gave it to Yeshua. What does it mean he gave it to Yeshua? He gave it to others also. He gave more to Yeshua than to others. Because Yeshua never left his presence. Harbe Sheroscho, the Harbe Kolak Lecho Kovid. He served you all the time. He was there in your tent, the first one. And he left the last one. Nar Layomish Mitecha Ehel. And therefore, he is the one who united himself to you. He has your Torah. And here we were speaking about a very important link. We were speaking here who will give over the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu to the next generation. And who will take this generation into Eretz Yisrael? He said, your sons are great Talmidei Chachomim. But they're not you. And every parnes, every leader must stand in your place. Therefore, kach lecho Yeshua bin Nun. Take Yeshua bin Nun. And then it's interesting what the Torah tells us that Moshe should do. Nosata mehaitcho olav. Give from your glory to him. Give from your glory to him. So the Medrash tells us. Rashi brings Kinner Dalek Mitech Ha'esh. Yeshua became a candle that was lit from the fire, or kekli mare shemen lechtech hakeli, or like the oil that was poured from one menorah to another menorah. This is how Yeshua became. So my Rebbe that tells the Rosh Yeshiva said on this, we see that Yeshua's fire was not an independent fire. His fire of Torah was ignited from the fire of Moshe Rabbeinu. Put your hand on him and give over from your glory to him. It was like one light being lit from a second light. The Torah of Yeshua became lit from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or more yet, like the oil which is poured from one menorah to another, that which burnt in Yeshua was the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it says, "V'nosatem ehaitcho, give from your glory, v'lechol haidoi, from your glory and not all of your glory." So Rashi brings from the Medrash, Melamdin, this teaches us, "Pnei Moshe k'pnei achamo," the face of Moshe Rabbeinu shone like the face of the sun. V'nei Yeshua k'pnei halavona, the face of Yeshua shone like the face of the moon. Now here also we see, tells the Rosh Yeshiva, brings out, the moon does not have its own light. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. The source of Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu. P'nei Moshe k'pnei hachamo. The light of Torah in Moshe was like the light of the sun. The source of Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua became the moon that took the light of the sun and lit a world of darkness with it, just like the moon does. But it was not his own. It was from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Teiras Moshe Rabbeinu is. And this is what it means, Teira Tzivalona Moshe, that Torah Moshe has commanded us. This is something which is very, very important for every Jew to know, and especially in our generation. There was a time when a Jew knew this, he understood this. He wanted to learn Torah. So his main concern was to go to someone who was great in Torah and study by him. The sages say this was the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. V'avisheise es divrehem b'tzomei. You shall drink their words in thirst. Zu Rabbi Akiva, this was Rabbi Akiva. And this is how Rabbi Akiva became so great. He seeked Torah and he drank it with thirst. And this was known in the last generations. People would go to Ran to study by the Chofetz Chaim Zochein Livrocha. They would go to Brisk to study by Rav Chaim Brisker. They would go to Telz to study by Telz Rosh Yeshivas, Telzerov. They would go to Slobodka to study by the great Rosh Yeshivas of Slobodka, and so on. But unfortunately, in our generation, and this is not only our generation, this was from already a good number of years yet, and mainly after the great Churban, after the great Holocaust, you find a tremendous instability. You find people, they want to learn Torah, they don't necessarily look at all as to who they're going to learn Torah from. You find many people that they learn 1 year here and 1 year here and a third year here. It used to be people would go and they would learn Torah from a great scholar. It could be 2 years or 5 years or 20 years. Unless they became so great where they had to look for a scholar that was greater. But today is very common. It's more common than uncommon. That the average young man today, if he spent 5-6 years in yeshivas, it's usually in 3 yeshivas. Learned 1 year, 2 years in one place, another year or two in another place. And with all other kind of calculations, that this is a good place to learn because it happens to be there, and this is a good place to learn because it happens to be in this place, and over here is Chavrusas, and so forth. But the whole calculation that a person should find someone who is a Talmud Chochem of stature. It's no halacha that you have to go to the greatest Talmud Chochem of the land to learn. The Gemara says, and the Rambam brings, that imash Rav Deimel Malach Hashem, that if the person in your eyes is a person of Torah stature and he's like a Malach Hashem in your eyes, he's a servant of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Deirish Teirim Ifiyu, then you must seek Torah from him. And if not, Al Tidrasheyu, then you must not. If in your eyes he is not a Chochem, a person of Torah stature, and he's not Kemalach Hashem, he is not in your eyes a righteous person and a person who is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shem Shemayim, then you're not allowed to seek Torah from him. But there's no aloha that you have to go to the greatest Gaon in the world. But you must go. This was the main consideration. And today, unfortunately, you don't find it. You don't find it. You don't hear where this one is going to that city because there is a Jew who's a great Talmud Chochem, and I want to go learn Torah by him. In Europe, they used to travel. And travel in Europe between one city and another, that might have been the distance between here and Durban, that was equivalent to a trip further than from here to Israel in the United States. They used to travel yearly year. The same thing during the time of the Gemara. They used to go from Mehocha Lohosam, Mehosam Lohocha. They used to be travel from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, because there were greater scholars in Bovel. Or they would go from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael. But they were going to learn by Rav Nachman, they were going to learn by Rova, they were going to learn by Rav, they were going to learn by Rabbi Yechanan. This is not here anymore. And unfortunately, if you look at the picture of Klal Yisrael, you find that there is no definite way anymore. There used to be definite ways. In Lithuania, they had a definite approach. Every yeshiva was a little different, but it still fell into a general structure. In Poland, there was a definite approach. German Jewry, of a few centuries ago, where they had Torah greats, they had a definite approach. Today, there is no such thing anymore. It's complete chaos and complete churban. And I once asked my Rebbe, I asked Rav Gifter, why is it like that? And he gave me one answer. He said, because they never saw Torah. This was his answer. They never saw Torah. If they would have been zeche to see, he said, like he saw, the great Elzer of, or other greats, then it wouldn't be. And this is what he was referring to. So from here we learn several principles. One is, what is a leader in Klal Yisrael? This is also something very important. Today we lack leaders. We lack people that want to go into positions of leadership. They are few and far apart. And there's a crisis. And there's a tremendous crisis here in South Africa. Actually, I was just this evening, before the shir, at a meeting with the committee of the Federation of Synagogues, that they called me to talk to me, that there's a tremendous crisis in South Africa. There are positions that are completely empty. They said Bloemfontein is without a rabbi for many, many months. And Durban is without a sheikhet for many months. And Emael. And Boksburg, they said. And they told me other communities, one after the other. They said, can you fill them? It's a situation, you hear Russia doesn't have positions to be filled. This is in South Africa. And they said, can you fill? What, do you have anyone available? And it's a situation because 1 out of 1,000 are interested in going into positions of leadership today. You should know what this means, a position of leadership. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult, but you should know what it means. Anyone who serves the community, L'shem Shemayim, he is standing together with Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of all leaders. Secondly, we learn from here, what does it mean to become, to grow in Torah? How does one grow in Torah? And thirdly, we learn Ein Yerusha LaTorah. What does it mean, Ein Yerusha LaTorah? The Maral writes, because a mother and father, where the inheritance is coming via, the Gemara says they give the physical elements in the child. So therefore, physically, there can be inheritance. If they're giving the physical elements in the child, so anything that's physical, there can be, or related to these physical elements, there can be inheritance. But the spirit is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says. Shleisha Shutvim Bodom. There are three partners. So how can a son inherit from a father or mother when it's on the spiritual level? This is why by kingship, we can find inheritance. By kahuna, by priesthood, which is the sanctity of the physical being, we can find inheritance. But not by Torah. But there is an inheritance by Torah. The Gemara tells us, Veshinantam levonecho, you shall teach your sons, elu atalmidim, not only your sons, but anyone that you teach becomes your son. When you teach someone Torah, physically he's not your son, but spiritually now he's your son. Just like by the mother and father that he's physically their son, and spiritually not, though. Rebbe le Talmud, that's spiritually your son. And v'chein motzinu, we find shahatalmidim kruim bonim, the Talmidim were called children, as it states, b'nei hanavim, and the Rebbe was called Ovi, as it states, as he called out to Eliyahu, Ovi, Ovi, my father. So actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe Rabbeinu that you will inherit, but not through your son, through your Talmud, through your students. Yeshua was his greatest student. And that is your son. Shahatalmidim kruim bonim, the Talmidim are your sons. Therefore you will inherit, he will inherit your glory. These are the principles that we see from here. Very, very great principles. Very important. Especially for our generation. We have a generation where there are tremendous Jewish qualities, tremendous Jewish capabilities. But they're shy to go forward into these positions. And one should realize what it means. Shalei tehe adas Hashem ketzayin she'ein lahem reya. In order that the herds of Klal Yisrael, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shall be like a flock without a shepherd. This was Moshe felt his responsibility, even though after he lived an entire life of responsibility. He was still worried with this. And we have situations in the world today, and particularly here, where the flock is without a shepherd. And secondly, what is the derech to Torah? How one can come to Torah, that even though his own sons were great Talmidei Chachomim, but they were not Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun was the Nar lo yomish mitecha ahel, harbe sheroscho. That was the one who stood by Moshe all the time. He was the one to stand in his place. We should be zeicher to learn from these principles and to see the rise of great leaders in Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.